I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge night of Champions League action in Glasgow. Celtic welcome young boys, knowing a win will take them through to the playoff phase of this new Champions League. Apart from the game tonight, there's big news as well. Kasper Schmeichel has signed a new contract at the club, and Rangers are in Manchester getting set for Old Trafford tomorrow with Jack Butland back in training, fit and ready to go. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Ross McCormick and Marvin Bartley.
Couple of massive nights for Scottish clubs in terms of Europe, starting with Celtic today, like you said, and then Rangers tomorrow. But what a magical night it will be at Celtic today. You know, I really, really am confident they can get the win. I think the atmosphere will be electric, and obviously have a light show, etc. on. And as soon as that Champions League music comes on, you know, the players will be ready, the fans will be ready, and hopefully it sets us up in terms of Scottish teams, and then Rangers can go and do one over Man United tomorrow.
Yeah, 2 huge games, Ross. What a midweek we've got.
Yeah, I think for Scottish football, it's massive. I think they need it. Everyone's probably out with Rangers fans probably rooting for Celtic to get through next stage because it's good for everyone. And then what a chance Rangers have got going to Old Trafford the way Man United are just now. No better opportunity to go down there and cause an upset.
And they're big in different ways, Marvin. Tonight's purely about Champions League progression and what that would mean for Celtic and for Brendan Rodgers and for Scottish football. And then tomorrow's a bit more of that kind of old-fashioned big game, Man United, yeah. Big name, glamour. Yes, they're not in form. Rangers don't even necessarily need the points to get through to the playoff phase, but can you go to Old Trafford and get something against Man United? 2 huge games.
Yeah, exactly that. And like you said, starting with today's one, it's absolutely massive. You know, we're speaking about the new format and how would, you know, Celtic fare in it. They've been absolutely brilliant. And they deserve this tonight. They deserve to be in this position. And the players know one last push and it takes them into kind of the playoff spots. And then tomorrow, like you said, regardless of the form Man United are on, it's still Manchester United. If Rangers can go there and cause an upset, which it will be, if they were to win it or even come away with a point, like you said, will it really affect them going forward? Do they actually need it? Probably not. But you know, there's no bigger game to, you know, go and do that and prove to, you know, again, people in England, like I always say, you know, look down on the Scottish game. So can they go and bloody in the nose of another English team?
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. Tonight, first and foremost, how are you feeling, Celtic fans? It's been all built up as the best opportunity you could get. You're at home against the team bottom of the Champions League phase. They can't win in the Champions League. They're struggling domestically. Sometimes football doesn't work out to be that easy, though. So how are you feeling? In a roundabout way, does that bring its own different type of nerves for a game like tonight? If you're on your way to the game, we'd love to hear from you. What are you thinking? How confident are you? Are there any nerves kicking in? What would your team be? All those usual big match questions that we ask on the night of a game, especially if you're on your way and you're in the car, pick up the phone, or if you're getting ready for a night on or behind the couch, give us a call as well, please. 0141 951 1025. Right, Rangers fans, what about tomorrow as well? How are you feeling about it all? How do you think your chances look of going down there and getting what would be still a famous result? I think everybody knows. And by the way, the Manchester United manager, he's gone again. They were the worst ever Man United team at the weekend. Now he says they're nervous at home. So surely this is all playing into your hands, or is it mind games, or what? How are you feeling? And what would your team be? Because you've got onto something domestically that's working, except Nsiala can't play, Hadji can't play, Danilo can't play, Diomande can't play. So what would your team look like? And would you bring Jack Butland back in straight away? He's fit, he trained today. Does that mean he comes straight back in, or is it Liam Kelly? Let us know. 0141 951 1025. And don't know if you knew this, with this appearance on the show comes great responsibility. You two dafties will be solely responsible for picking the Scottish Cup goal of the round a bit later on in the show.
Nice.
Don't worry, we'll show you them.
Yeah, good.
You don't have to remember them all, But what you say will be final and it will be there, enshrined forever.
Well, nice of him to let us know, wasn't it?
Well, exactly. Yeah. Exactly, Roscoe. But we're men, we deal with it, you know. Many can deal with pressure, etc. So,
well, the truth is that one of you knew because he was at his work at a respectable time. And one of you didn't know because you walked in 2 minutes to go.
Do you know what I was actually doing? I was eating my pasta.
Can you eat that in the office
and,
now?
And my Monster Munch. And my Luke said, no, I was actually quite chilled out. I was listening to some calming music before coming in. You know, engaging with you for 2 hours.
Pathetic. Anyway, 01419511025. Plenty to get through. It's the transfer window still open as well, if we can find any time for that sort of stuff. Kasper Schmeichel, what do you make of him signing a new deal? We could roll that in to the Celtic discussion. And let's go there right now, because Gabriel is at Celtic Park, where it is quiet at the moment, but it's only going to head one way tonight.
Yeah, certainly, Gordon. It's going to pick up by the time kickoff comes in just under 2 hours' time. As we all know, it's 12 years since Celtic played knockout football in the Champions League, and that could all change this evening. A win against Young Boys will almost certainly secure Celtic a playoff place. It may even keep alive dreams of a top eight finish. Brendan Rodgers said it would be huge for the club, showing that they've matured and earned respect at this level. Well, we're expecting an atmosphere like a final in here this evening. That's what Alistair Johnson said. Ever since that victory over RB Leipzig back in November, this is the date that has been circled in supporters' diaries. Progress in the Champions League is what these fans have been after for so long, and tonight is their chance to witness it. Of course, all the teams in the Champions League have pedigree, Gordon, but you could hardly have picked better opposition for tonight's task. The Swiss champions, Young Boys, are bottom of the 36-team table. They've yet to take a single point. They've got the worst goal difference in the competition. They've never won an away fixture in the Champions League in 11 attempts, and they've made their worst start to the domestic league season this century. They're ninth in the league table, trying to defend their title. They're on their third manager of the season, and they could have a Rangers striker, former Rangers striker in Cedric Itten up top. Be interesting to see a reception he gets, Gordon. In terms of Celtic's team news, though, they have a full squad to choose from, bar James Forrest. You'd expect to see their first choice front three of Kun, Kyogo and Maeda, and you'd think that Austin Trusty would get the nod ahead of Liam Scales at left centre half, despite Rodgers' criticism of the American last week. So the question for fans to debate on the way here and at home is, as always, how will the midfield look? We know that captain Callum McGregor will be at its base, but it's between Arne Engels, Paolo Bernardo and Reo Hatate vying for the two places alongside him. A kickoff, as we know, is at 8 o'clock, and I'll have team news before 7.
Luke McCowan wants a word. He just ditched him as well. He just kicked him out of the squad altogether, but I think Gabriel might be right anyway. So what do you think, Celtic fans, first of all? Heading along to the game tonight, you must be in the car roundabout now. Pick up the phone. Let us know how you're feeling. Are you as confident as that list that Gabriel reads out would suggest about all the things that Young Boys aren't doing and can't do and haven't done? Or have we seen this movie before? We've seen teams come to Scotland and Europe that we think on paper should be beatable, and it sometimes doesn't work out that way. No guarantees in football and all that stuff. How do you feel? 01419511025. Pick up the phone or tweet us at Clyde SSB. But goes without saying, much rather speak to you on the phone, just like Ken has done tonight. Ken, hope you're well. What's the main feeling or emotion ahead of this one?
Well, as I said to the producer, unlike the Celtic fan last night, I'm more confident of beating Young Boys tonight than Villa next week. We've played Swiss teams 9 times at home, once 1-8, 2-1. We've put Young Boys before, we've beat them 1-0 after the extra time when we're doing what competition that was. You know, so the stats on that side are for us, you know. But on the team, I'm not an Hatate fan. You know, after a game, just like he's trying to either hit someone in the top tier or put the ball in the park when he's trying to score a goal.
I'm sure he's not trying to do that, to be fair, but I take the point. So you wouldn't play him tonight, Hatate?
I wouldn't, but I'm sure Rodgers will. I'm not a fan of Hatate.
Who would you play instead?
Luke McCowan.
Let's go for Ken's sort of general feeling about the game. I keep, you know, I feel like you can ground in circles on this, because how can you ignore all those things Gabriel says? Bottom of the entire Champions League, lost all their games. They also are struggling domestically as well, so it's not just about that. However, is it that simple? I mean, are they where Kilmarnock came to Celtic Park and ran Celtic close at the weekend.
Yeah.
Would Young Boys be worse than Kilmarnock or better? Would you think?
No, they'd be better than Kilmarnock.
So, you know, are there any guarantees in football? I get why people are pointing it out. I just wonder if it's gone a bit far.
No, listen, I expect Celtic to win this game of football today. But like you said, Young Boys are in the Champions League. They won their domestic league last season. And they actually, I watched them play against Villa. And they actually started the game reasonably well. You know, they're quite athletic or reasonably athletic throughout most of their team as well. So, you know, if Celtic are going to dominate possession, they can hit them on the counter-attack. But don't get me wrong, they conceded against Villa and they kind of fell apart. But, you know, that's the only game I've seen them play. But it didn't look like complete mugs. And Brendan Rodgers will understand that. You know, like you said, all of these stats, you know, lead you towards thinking, right, Celtic, this is going to be a walkover. But he'll remind them, you know, we have to go out there and do our jobs. Because if we don't, no team wants to be in the Champions League and end up, you know, losing 8 games out of 8. And Young Boys are heading towards that now. They've got a new manager in, like you said. He's going to want to see something from them. And you don't always get to play in the Champions League, so it'll be a massive game for them as well.
Then again, Ross, you do keep coming back to that phrase that everyone says, and they're saying it because it's true. You can't get a better opportunity to qualify than a home game against a team that's bottom and just beat them to go through.
You can't, no. And I think everyone was sort of singing off the same hymn sheet at the start of the Champions League in terms of the draw. They had a great chance. Now to get it down to this, it's just a shootout at Parkhead. Celtic go and beat Young Boys, they qualify. So there's no better opportunity. But just to pick up on what Ken was saying there when he talks about Hatate and stuff, I think, no disrespect to Kilmarnock and sort of other teams in Scotland, I think big game players come alive in big games. I think that's what Hatate is. And there's no bigger game than tonight. So I expect him to play. I think McCowan might be the other one in there. I think he deserves his shot. I've been so impressed with him. Every single game I watch him play, he affects the game positively, works hard. So I expect that to be the three: McGregor, Hatate, and McCowan.
Wow.
Yeah.
You and Ken on the same hymn sheet. Let's thank Ken for his thoughts and bring in Brendan as well. It's getting busy on the phone, so we'll fly around as many as we can. Brendan, what are you thinking tonight? Are you as confident, Brendan, as, again, that list suggests? Are Young Boys these Champions League no-hopers, or does that bring a bit of fear for you?
Any team that's made it into the Champions League has got the given right to be there, and anything can happen. But the last time I phoned up about when I was going to the RB Leipzig game, I said it was all about like the transition for Celtic. But tonight, you can't have Hatate anywhere near that. Luke McCowan, it needs to be Luke McCowan, McGregor and Ingles for me. Like, see Luke McCowan's ball retention, it's second to none. His work rate is second to none. And it gives that something different going forward as well. Like, Hatate will pick the ball up and then try and make like a 5-yard pass and then lose the ball. I don't know if it's been up with him for the past 5 games, but Hatate shouldn't be anywhere near it tonight.
Okay, a lot of real Hatate negativity to kick off the show, which is fine. That's why we're here. Do you agree with it, Marvin?
No, not in terms of, I expect him to play today. Obviously, you know, Ken and Brendan watch Celtic a lot more often than I do. And, you know, if he hasn't been hitting the heights recently, I understand that all players kind of go through that. But, you know, I still expect Brendan Rodgers, you know, like Roscoe's saying there, it's a massive, massive game and it's a straight shootout. And who do you want to play? I think Hatate has to be in that midfield three with McGregor and then it's one more for me. Probably expect it to be Ingles, but yeah, I don't expect to see Hatate on the bench, regardless of how he's played. Like, you know, Roscoe said again, it's a massive, massive game for them. And I expect to see him in that midfield.
There is a lot of love out there for Luke McCowan, and you're agreeing, Ross. And I'm not saying it's not justified. I just wonder if it becomes quite clear that still up until this point, how Brendan Rodgers sees him. He has started 11 games for Celtic. None of them have been Champions League group stage games. None of them have been games against Rangers. I think he's got about 22 Celtic appearances overall. He's getting a lot of minutes. He's getting a lot of football. Is he at the stage where Brendan Rodgers sees him starting this game ahead of Rio Hatate and Arne Ingles?
Well, I'll rephrase what I said there. I actually said I expect him to play, but that's not what I meant.
I would like
to see him play. In terms of how Rodgers sees him, I think with fan bases as well, and I've said this before, I believe that some players become better players when they're not playing. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is whoever's playing, everyone wants to see Luke McCowan play because, you know, he was at Celtic as a boy and what have you. Now, going back to your Hatates and Ingles and stuff, I mean, Ingles is similar to Hatate in the sense that he always seems to try a flamboyant pass to try and open up the defence and stuff. But I think Celtic fans have a bee in their bonnet with a tatty right now, don't they?
It certainly seems like it.
They certainly do. I've got to say, I just don't see it. I love watching the guy play. I think he's a big game player. And as I said, there's no bigger game than tonight.
Is that the difficulty that a manager like Brendan Rodgers would have, Brendan? Because I'm not going to sit here and say, you're wrong, he has played well in the last, you know, few games. But you know what he's capable of. You know what that ceiling looks like. You know that even in games that Celtic lost the Champions League, you know, Real Madrid, I think he got sort of rave reviews for his performances. He was certainly very good against Leipzig and so on. Is it not understandable that Brendan Rodgers would try and lean into that?
Yeah, 100%. If you were the manager seeing his previous performances in the Champions League, yes, you would be hard to drop him. But see, if you look at recent performance, you're only as good as your last game, I believe. And Luke McCown is no put a foot wrong. Hatate, it feels like he's struggling maybe a wee bit. Maybe it's too many minutes, too many games, and it's catching up with him. And then I don't know if he's feeling the pressure. He wants to try and get the ball forward, and he's trying too hard a pass, and he's losing it too easily. But looks just, it's unbelievable how easy it looks to him.
Yeah, and again, this is not about taking anything away from Luke McCown, who has been good, Marvin. It's just what I said there about, do you think that next step is tonight? It was only, what, 3-4 games ago, I think, Hatate scored against Dundee United. He's the RB Leipzig game. Did he score in that one as well? He did, didn't he? I think he got the final goal. I just wonder if Brendan Rodgers just still has those big game players, because it's a great phrase and people use it, and Brendan says, you're only as good as your last game. I just don't think that's true. Unfortunately, players get goodwill in the tank.
Yeah, and rightfully so. You know, like you said, he's got credit in the bank because how well he's performed for Celtic. Like you said, taking nothing away from Luke McCown. I see him as a backup centre midfielder for Celtic at this moment in time. And there's just a pecking order. You know, that's just the way it works. And yes, he's came in and you know, really, really done well when he's come off the bench and, you know, started a couple of games. I just don't see Brendan. For me, I would be massively shocked if we got the team news and Luke McCown was starting in there and Hatate wasn't. I think, you know, Brendan said it himself, if he was manager and you're looking at this one game, you look at the experience that Hatate has at the, you know, top level, being in the Champions League, he has to be out there. And like Roscoe said, you know, sometimes players are better when they're not playing, just the way it is. But like you said, taking nothing away from Luke, I'm sure we'll get some minutes tonight, but I don't expect him to start.
It's a difficult one, Ross, I suppose, because over the piece of this group then, you know, on one hand, Celtic are in this position for a reason. They've done well to get into this position, and they've got in this position without Luke McCown starting any of the games. But I don't know, maybe it's too far back for some people. Maybe they want to look at the more recent form.
Yeah, but like I just said there, these sort of not bigger name players, I don't mean to be disrespectful to Luke McCown, but your Hatates and your Bernardos and stuff, I think they're tried and trusted. They've done it before. And I believe that God know, like you said, lean into that. The managers have always got players for big games who they trust and who they go to. And I think Bernardo and Hatate are two of those.
I wonder if was there a clue at the weekend that many people said they thought that was the team. Let's thank Brendan. John is on the line as well. How are you, John?
Hello.
How's it going, John?
Hold on 2 seconds, Robin.
No worries. Don't let me keep you.
Just a bit of windy up in the car. Just picking people up for society room there.
Quite right. You doing your taxi duty, John?
What's that, pal?
You doing your taxi duty?
No. Richard, my pals, he's driving, mate. It's been an emotional day, mate. Anniversaries and things like that. So, just talking to Jay, producer there. Guys, calm down, because I've got to listen to you. Guys have got to hear me. Sorry. Is it Marvin?
Marvin and Ross McCormick. Take it away.
Ross who?
Ross McCormick.
Ross McCormick. Oh, not spoken Ross for ages. Anyway, guys, nice to talk to you. So, a young boy that was on before, talking about the team, I think the team selection would be obviously Casper, Christie, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Johnson and Greg Taylor, with Luke McCown, Luke McCown, Engels, and McGregor, and then Kyogo through the middle, Nicholas Coon, and I think, is Dyson still fit, Ross?
Yeah, he's fit.
Mm-hmm. Dyson Mader. It's a big, big, massive game. for Scottish football tonight. So I think we need an early goal, because we've, on other games, not in the Champions League, we've been pressing very, very high, Ross. You, Marvin, played a game as well. And it's, we get an early goal tonight, it could be, I'm not saying a cricket score, because young boys, I think they were the champions last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I say, we need to be on our guard tonight.
Yeah, how much will style come into that? You know, because John mentions an early goal. Mm-hmm. Clearly the high point this season is RB Leipzig. Everybody involved with Celtic wants to replicate that. Except RB Leipzig came out and had a go at Celtic and left spaces for Celtic. Will this play out differently? Might this be more like a Scottish Premiership game where people are, you know, going to sit back and try and make life a bit more difficult?
Possibly, yes. And then that's why I totally agree with what John's saying. If you can get an early goal, then it settles the nerves. And the fans get right behind the team again. There's none of this sign or whatever that Brendan was talking about weeks ago, if the ball's going sidewards and backwards. That early goal takes the pressure off the team. And if they get that, then I totally agree with what he's saying. It won't be a cricket score, but there's then an opportunity to go and get 3 and 4, because what happens then is young boys have got to come out. They've got to then start trying to score goals themselves. And for teams to do that at Parkhead, we can see, we have seen before what happens.
Also don't know how they feel, because they're bottom. Does that mean you know it's playing for pride? Is that enough? Do they have anything tangible to aim for? We will see. Keep your calls coming on the build up to this game, Celtic fans. How are you feeling? What would your team look like? We'll get team news maybe 20 minutes or so, and we're going to head live to Manchester next. So Rangers fans, what are you thinking? Can you go down there and get what would still be a famous result, I assume, even though Man United aren't what they used to be? Their managers made some interesting comments again today. And would you play Jack Butland? Would you put him straight back in? Or are you sticking with Liam Kelly? Give us a call now and we'll do that next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Barclay and Ross McCormack are here on 01419511025. It is a huge night for Celtic. We've already had three calls, every one of them saying no Rio Hatate and play Luke McCowan. Any Rio Hatate fans out there want to stick up for him? And how do you feel overall? Everybody, every stat is piling up to tell you how bad young boys have been and how Celtic should win. But does that bring its own form of nerves? Because football is often not that simple. So let us know and we'll do team news in the not too distant future. A huge night tomorrow as well. Rangers are in Manchester. They trained at the Rangers Training Centre today, headed down. Philippe Clement has done his press conference. So call us right now, Rangers fans. Would you play Jack Butland? He's back training. Or does Liam Kelly stay in? And how do you feel about your chances? Let's cross live to Manchester.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European Group Stages. With UK Debt Expert, the top team helping you tackle your debt. Verify at ukdebtexpert.co.uk. May not be suitable for all. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.
Andrew McLean, we send you far and wide across Europe. You've not gone far this time. What are you bringing us from Manchester?
Yeah, a bit of an easier journey, this one, than a few other ones I've done, but still a very, very busy day in Manchester ahead of that huge, huge game tomorrow night. Manchester United boss Ruben Amorim, he was speaking at their Carrington training base this afternoon before Philippe Clement and James Tavernier spoke at Old Trafford. Just in the last couple of hours when I arrived at Old Trafford as well, really touching to see all the tributes towards Dennis Law, of course a Scottish football legend, but a Manchester United football legend as well. His name emblazoned across the front of the main stand. There's, of course, the statue as well of him outside the ground, which had loads of flowers and scarves laid down on it, plenty of people paying tribute. So that was, you know, really touching to see the impact that he's had in this city. A game I'm sure he would have loved to have seen tomorrow night. It is a massive match, expecting thousands of Rangers fans to travel down here today and over the course of tomorrow as well. Plenty have tickets for the game, but loads will be in fan zones around the city expecting what I think will be a really interesting tie, one that's quite hard to call, isn't it? Because Manchester United, they're in a really bad place at the moment. Rangers not having it their way domestically, but will feel more confident with this game being in Europe, because we've seen what Rangers are capable of doing in the Europa League over the course of a number of years. They always tend to step it up, don't they? And they'll expect that it will be the same tomorrow. One thing that won't help them, though, injuries, suspension concerns. Jack Butland is back in training. That will be a bonus for Philippe Clement and Rangers supporters. Philippe Clement not confirming whether he'll come straight back in for Liam Kelly or not, but was detailing here that he's got far from a full squad to pick from.
We will miss quite a few players. I think around 8 who could be starting 11 tomorrow because of injuries, the European list, suspensions also with Dio. But it's about all team, all squad digging in together and getting results like they've been doing the last couple of months. So it's not a new situation in that way. Jack is back training and he feels fit. I never give my starting 11 before the game, but it's clear what Jack done before. For the club, it's also very good what Liam Kelly has been doing last couple of weeks for the club. So I will make a correct decision tomorrow towards that.
What was the other main message coming from the Rangers camp, Andrew?
Yeah, it was just kind of all about what Philippe Clement is expecting from this game, because, you know, it was put to him about Manchester United not being in the best form, especially at home at Old Trafford. But, you know, you can also point to Rangers' away form generally. That would be a big thing you would point towards. But that's more domestically, isn't it, than in Europe. I was mentioning earlier, they do seem to step it up on these big occasions. They seem to play at a different tempo with a different urgency in their game. And bizarrely, you'd probably back them more to get a result at Old Trafford at the moment than you would at a Dingwall or a McDermott Park or the like, just based on recent form. But Philippe Clement was saying that he's seen enough from his side in Europe this season and last season to know that they can hurt Manchester United.
We have our game plan like we always do. And that's clear for the team. We discussed that today. We will discuss that more tomorrow. Like I said from the beginning, I'm not somebody who believes in only putting parking a bus in front of goal and hoping that nothing happens and hoping to come one time on the other side and then to score a goal out of that. So we will play out of our qualities also. But of course, we need to look also at the qualities of Manchester United, like we did in the other European games the last months, and like I did before also with other teams. It's just about us, and I'm convinced that our squad, our team can hurt every opponent, but we need to be very united. We need to work really hard. We need to work hard without the ball. Otherwise, these chances will not come. We need to do a lot of things right to get a good result here. But the team is here also in a good position in the Europa League because they did that already several times in Europe.
I don't think people need us to explain why, Andrew, but the opposition is just much more interesting this time, more relevant, closer to home. We're aware of them, we see them on TV, we hear the stories. So what's coming out of Manchester United ahead of this one?
Yeah, you probably see them more on TV at the moment than you do at most other periods. The two people that probably have the most screen time in English football at the moment are Ange Postecoglou because of what's going on at Tottenham and Ruben Amorim because of everything that's gone on at Manchester United. He's really in the spotlight because it's been a really bad start to life as Manchester United manager. Somehow the results have actually got worse than they were under Erik ten Hag. Those comments that Ruben Amorim made after that defeat to Brighton at the weekend, wasn't it, where he said that he felt that they were maybe the worst team in Manchester United history. That's been poured over by so many people. It is a huge statement. There was talk of dressing room bust-ups as well after that match. Ruben Amorim was asked about that today, of course. He admitted that he probably shouldn't have said it in a public forum. He said that he was quite emotional after the game. He said that it was, you know, he was very frustrated. He probably shouldn't have gone into the media press conference and said that. He did admit that it was something he did tell his players after the game, though. So it seems as if it was something he meant. But he says it's more about him and maybe the lack of impact that he's had at Manchester United since he's come in. I think it's 7 defeats in the last 10 games. They've only got 1 win and 4 defeats from the last 5 games at Old Trafford. About a really interesting point I thought that he made, though, and you wonder whether it's something Rangers may be able to capitalise going into the game tomorrow night. He went on to admit that his team are nervous and anxious on the pitch, especially at Old Trafford.
I think that is clear. I could say different things and say, no, it's the same thing. We have the support of the fans. No, we are more nervous playing at home than away because we lost a lot of games, like 4 games in 5. So it's getting harder. what we can improve. I think if we don't suffer the first goal, like in the fourth minute, and I remember like it's fourth minute, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then it's really hard to calm down the team. So we need, the first thing in my mind is they cannot score. We need to score the first one. If we score the first one, I think that will change and we'll play better at home in the beginning. That's it. I think it's really clear. We are really anxious playing, especially at home. And we are suffering goals, and then it's really hard. So I think it's clear for everybody that it's getting harder to play at Old Trafford.
John's a Rangers fan. How are you feeling ahead of this one, John?
Good evening, guys. Thanks for having us on.
Pleasure.
Looking forward to it. I've actually got hospitality, so I'm leaving tomorrow.
Oh, not bad. All right, for some, John.
Yeah, I've pulled a couple of strings there. But no, really looking forward to it. Touching on the team, yeah, we've been really successful from away from home in Europe. We've held our own. We've went out in the field and we've kind of get all wired in. And to be quite honest with you, I know that Man United are having a bit of a shock on that. They're still world-class players. Still as Old Trafford, they'll probably be a full house. But if we can go down and take a draw, take something from the game and qualify for the next stages, would be absolutely great. So, and on the point of Butland, the goalkeeper, I would actually have Liam Kelly in. I would just stay with Liam Kelly. He's done well. I think it'd be a bit of a shame to pull him out of a big occasion when obviously Jax is coming back for injury. So that was another point I wanted to put to you.
Okay, who's playing in goal tomorrow night? Jack Butland back training. He's missed six games. He's still the number one, obviously, mm-hmm. I think, but he's missed six games.
I think Jack Butland. I think if he declares himself fit enough to play and he feels fine to play, I think, you know, Clement kind of alluded to that in his press conference. Doesn't name a team, but Jack's done a lot of good things for Rangers.
And would you agree with that decision?
Yeah, if I was a manager, I'd put him back in. If he's my number one goalkeeper, then I would start him. As John said there, you know, Liam Kelly's been absolutely fine in there. You know, he's a really, really good goalkeeper. But, you know, if Jack's my number one, I'll be putting him back in. As long as he declares himself fit and ready to go, then, you know, as a manager, I'll be putting him straight in.
John thinks he'd go Liam Kelly, though. What would you do, Ross?
I've got to agree with John, to be honest. I think Liam Kelly's done ever so well. And actually, John's not the only one who I've heard. I've got a lot of friends and stuff who are Rangers fans, and they said the same before Jack obviously got injured, that he was making a few mistakes, and there was calls back then to take him out of the team. So I don't know what's changed since he has been out of the team to warrant people wanting him back in the team. I would stick with Kelly. I think he's been excellent. And what he is good at, actually, is really, really good with his feet mm-hmm. in terms of kicking it. So that could be a big weapon to get out for Rangers tomorrow night.
John, Man United are nervous and anxious at home, according to their own manager. Rangers domestically are not good away from home, but they are good away from home in Europe. So figure all that out. And does that play into Rangers' hands?
Well, if I'm on the board or anything to do with Man United, I'd be having an absolute shocker. I can't believe the manager's coming out and playing Man United down and saying that. I mean, it's a Man United, remember, and you've got a manager that's come in saying that, you know, they're scared of this and that at home. I couldn't believe actually what I was hearing there. Look, that's all talk and all the rest of it. I think, to be honest with you, Rangers have got to go down there, stick as a unit, go out there and keep their shape, keep it tight, play attacking football we've done over the last couple of seasons. And yeah, you know, I think we could take something, and I'm hoping we do. But regarding Man United, yeah, they are Man United, they're world class players, they are pretty poor at moments, I say, but we can't take anything away from that. Let's not kid ourselves.
Depends though, because there is a genuine discussion of, well, how many world class players do they have? And I'm not saying they're not good, they're obviously good up to a point, but how many world-class players do they have now? Anyway, that's maybe more for the Man United side of things. What do you make of the comments? Because at the weekend, we spoke about, you know, worst ever Man United team. We debated that. I've had pundits like Gordon Dale saying, good. I mean, why not? Why sugarcoat things? Why keep defending players? My sort of counter-argument to that is, yeah, but you can. There's quite a distance between protecting your players and saying that they're the worst Man United team in history. And then to sort of openly say you're anxious at home, fine, he's saying, well, we are, I'm not going to lie. But then to go one step further and say, and put it this way, if you're a Man United player and you do concede first tomorrow, He's told you you can't. Do you know what I mean? Is it all a bit too much? Is it too open?
I don't think so. I think there's an honesty there in terms of what he's seeing and what everyone else is seeing.
Have you ever heard a manager say, though, we cannot concede first tomorrow? What does that do if it goes off somebody's backside and goes in and Rangers don't deserve it, but Man United concede first? What does that send?
You change those thoughts by coming back if you deal with adversity. Basically, what you're saying at this moment in time, we are struggling to deal with adversity. Listen, it's all good and well being at a massive football club when things are going well, but the pressure that then turns on you when things aren't going well is what Man United players are feeling now. And they're the ones that cross that white line, and they're the ones that have to make sure that when they do go out there, all the things the manager's saying, he doesn't want to see these things, but he's just being open and honest. There's no doubt about it. He would have said it to the players in the dressing room. But I agree with John. You know, Man United are still Man United. We've seen them play against Arsenal and get a good result. We saw them play against Liverpool, get a good result. And then, you know, other weeks you see them and they really, really struggle. It just depends what Man United team Rangers get tomorrow.
Yeah, they're an absolute enigma for me. I just can't work them out. But I was quite interested there when he was saying that he had told the players after the match. For me, if that's the manager, if I've had a rant at the players and I tell them after the game, I wouldn't then say exactly what I said in the press conference. I'd probably wait until after the next game or two games down the line to see what reaction that gets. Because now what he's done is he's put the spotlight even more on them. Some of them comments are bizarre. Nervous at home. You're Manchester United, probably the biggest club in world football, and you're nervous to play at home.
It's telling everybody about
it. It's ridiculous, honestly.
Anyway, thank you to John, who would start Liam Kelly. Ross McCormack agrees. Marvin Bartley doesn't. What do you think? And we'll get team news from Celtic Park after I tell you about this.
Every day is payday.
Yes, still all happening on Every Day is Payday. The chance for you to win some serious cash. Tam the Roofer from Airdrie won £2,025 on Every Day's Payday this afternoon.
I've just finished early to go and watch the Celtic game tonight, so I'll probably have a few beers and buy the boys a few tonight. Thanks.
You can win a few beers for £2,025 in Airdrie, I suspect. But anyway, not only could you join Tam in winning the £2,025 tomorrow, you could be in for the biggest payday of your life. £250,000 is coming as well. So text YES to 61025. If you do that, you get 2 for 1 on the texts. Texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. Entries at Clyde1.com or £250, or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rayo Network competition are online, and the lines close 3 p.m. on Friday for your chance to win £250,000 into your bank in time for the weekend. Text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormack and Marvin Bartley are here at 0141 951 1025. I love busy shows like this because we've got Celtic in one of the biggest Champions League games in a long time, in an hour and 10 minutes time. We've got Rangers playing tomorrow at Old Trafford, no less, and we're going to pick the Scottish Cup goal of the round in the second hour of tonight's show as well. And that's before we even get to Kasper Schmeichel's new contract. It's before we even get to other transfer speculation that's doing the rounds. So give us your calls right now, please. And Celtic fans, here is your Celtic team. So call quickly to react to it if you can. And Gabriel has the news.
Yes, Gordon, Brendan Rodgers keeps the exact 11 that beat Kilmarnock 2-1 at the weekend, as expected. Arne Engels and Reo Hatate are preferred to Luke McCowan and Paolo Bernardo in midfield, and given the gravity of the game, you have to say this looks like his strongest 11. So it's Kasper Schmeichel in goal, Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Austin Trusty and Greg Taylor at the back. Captain Callum McGregor is in midfield with Arne Engels and Reo Hatate, Nicholas Kuden and Dyson made it out wide, Kyogo through the middle. Substitutes, Sinisalo, Bain, Scales, Palmer, Ida, Baye, Yang, McCowan, Navrotsky, Bernardo, Murray and Ralston. A young boys 11 is out as well, Gordon, but former Rangers striker Cedric Itten is only amongst the substitutes.
Well, the Luke McCowan fan club who phoned in earlier are all going to be disappointed, but I think most of us saw this coming from the weekend. We said it when we saw the team against Kilmarnock. You had the feeling that Brendan Rodgers was trying to fine-tune them ahead of this one.
Yeah, it often happens. So yeah, I'm not at all surprised that he's named the same team again. As I said, for me, Hatate had to play. You know, McGregor was always playing, and the other position maybe was up for grabs. But I would have been extremely shocked if Luke McCown would have played. And listen, he knows his role within this team. I've spoken about this before on the show today. He understands that he signed for a massive football club. He's now getting the opportunity to be involved in Champions League squads and essentially get on the pitch. This is a massive, massive game for not only Celtic, but for Scottish football today. And I really do believe they can go out and win this game. But, you know, the players will now be starting to go through things before going out onto that pitch. And as I said, the atmosphere will be absolutely electric, no doubt.
See, for a second, Ross, don't maybe focus on the positives, if you like, rather than trying to find issues and pick holes. I know it's a good debate, but how key are Celtic's wide men? Nicholas Coon's got 16 goals this season. Dyson Maeda's got 15. Dyson Maeda's got 3 in this Champions League alone. How important are they?
They're the guys that unlock the door. Mostly everything that Celtic have done this season, which has been fantastic, has come from the wide players. I think the two behind them as well have a massive part to play. I don't think Coon would be half the player he is without Johnston behind him. But yeah, they are absolutely massive to Celtic. If they play well tonight, then I don't see anything but a positive result for them.
How key are they, Marvin?
Yeah, massively key. I got feeling it's going to be a massive night for Kyogo today as well. You know, I know he hasn't hit the scoring heights he has in previous seasons, but I think his all-round play is so, so important to them. Yeah, and like you say, Maeda, we've spoken about him so many times of running in behind us, and Kun has that kind of, you know, technical ability to come inside and score goals. So be a big old night for them, but everyone's got to perform, Gordon. You know, they can't afford to think ahead of themselves and get complacent, because that's when things start to unravel themselves.
Tony, this is the beauty of live radio and breaking news. When you called up, you wanted to suggest that Bernardo should play instead of Hatate. So I'm going to spoil it for you. You haven't got your wish. What do you make of the team now that we know it?
Well, I would rather Bernardo was playing instead of Hatate. I think Hatate's took his eye off the ball in the past few months, actually. Engels is definitely a player. Of course, McGregor's going to play. But I would put in Luke McCown there, definitely. He's, well, basically he's a Celtic player, and he'll fight. The last few games I've seen him, he's been a very good player for us. But I think Hatate's definitely took his eye off the ball. And that's my one of your points that now.
If this show is a barometer of the way Celtic fans feel about Real Hatate, how important is it then that he doesn't have a poor game tonight? Because if this level of trust has been put, I'm wondering about the reaction, because there's so many people thinking he shouldn't play.
Yeah, listen, it's always the same though. He understands the pressures that come with playing for Celtic. As I spoke earlier about having that credit in the bank, over his course of his Celtic career, he's been absolutely brilliant. And does he have a dip in form from time to time? Of course he does. But it's a huge game today. So if his eye has slightly came off the ball, as Tony's, you know, said there, then this is a game where he gets his eye back on the ball, because it's the biggest game that they could possibly have coming up. Like you said, you know, the opportunity to go through to the playoff round, they're playing against bottom in the Champions League, and he knows all eyes will be on him. So whether it's about staying in the Celtic team, whether it's about potentially other, you know, clubs looking at him and him getting another move, say the end of the season, these are the games where you have to perform, because it's where you really be judged.
Ross, I wonder if how much we should maybe take into account Real Hatate's physicality, because we are talking, most of the discussion so far has been about maybe giving the ball away. There's more to it, I guess, than that. Is that worth considering?
There is more to it, but what I will say is, if Real Hatate didn't have any off games or any sort of bad games, if you want to call it, he wouldn't be at Celtic. He'd be in top six of the Premier League. He is that good when he's on form. So I think the criticism is a little bit over the top. Yes, he might have been off the boil a little bit recently, but like we spoke about earlier, these guys have got credit in the bank based on what they have done previously. He's a big game player, and like I said, this is a massive game for not just Celtic but Scottish football. Celtic need to get through this group, and they're going to rely on big players like your Hatates, like your Coons, like your Maedas, and certainly for me, someone who's probably been overlooked a little bit recently in terms of form and not getting the goals, which he usually does, Kyogo. Mm.
Tony, will Celtic do it tonight?
Well, hopefully. I think it'll be close. I think 2-1, 1-0 or 2-1 probably. But what I was wanting to say about Hatate is the last good game he really had was against RB Leipzig, and he scored in that night. And he is a good player, but I still think he's eyes somewhere else. That's bothering me. But at the same time, he's a quality player. But I think we'll do it. I think we'll do 1-0, 2-1, I think.
1-0 sounds a bit too tight for a lot of the Celtic fans out there. They will be watching behind the couch if that's the case. But thank you, Tony. Let's play a big game of our own.
Beat the Pundit with The Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I don't mind giving away trade secrets. Ross McCormack walked into the studio earlier and said, I hope I don't play bigger pundit. That's the last thing I need. See, listen, this is a guy who scored about a million goals in the English Championship, banged him in from everywhere, but he's nervous. So
I might need the toilet at 7 o'clock.
01419511025. The lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormack and Marvin Bartley are here on a huge night of Champions League football in Glasgow. Celtic looking for the win that would see them progress to the playoff phase. How are you feeling now, Celtic fans? How are the nerves? Or is it optimism, excitement? What is it? What's the feeling this close to kickoff? What did you make of that team we gave you it before? The news, it's the same team that started the game against Kilmarnock at the weekend. Is that the right call or the wrong call? And who's heading to Manchester then? Are you down there already? Are you on your way, some sort of weird overnight journey? Or are you going down in the morning, Rangers fans? And if you're staying up here as well, what are you thinking? Ruben Amorim talking about it being the worst Man United team in history at the weekend. He's now saying they're anxious, they're nervous at home, and it'll be a disaster if they concede first. So does that fill you with optimism or not? And there's a split in the studio. One would play Liam Kelly tomorrow. The other would play Jack Butland. What about you, though? Give us a call and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Ross McCormack's dreading it. Marvin Bartley's a bit of a mixed bag. You never know what you're going to get. The recent form's been good, though, I have
been
to
okay.
say. You're actually...
I'm third, aren't I? Or fourth?
Best of the rest.
Yeah? I'll take that.
Best of the rest. So really second. Oh, so Ross, you're in a strange position. Don't know if you know this.
I've only played it once.
So you're top. You're top of the league.
Am I?
It's 100% win record.
No, I lost. I'm sure I got beat.
No, you won.
I think you did lose, actually. Who collates these
doesn't
things?
Doesn't surprise me, Ross. They got that wrong, mate. Andy, doesn't surprise me.
Andy Halliday's top 100% win record. But apart from that, it's you, big guy. I can't believe it. I mean, obviously,
what do you mean you can't believe it?
Well, you're hopeless. Roger Hanna's only there because he starts on minus two. So
and
inevitably, he got beat. Patrick is on the line. How are you, Patrick?
I am good, aye.
Have you ever played before?
No, but I've watched it. Okay.
Usually do okay?
Well, aye, because obviously on YouTube, when you're answering at the same time, I think it's easier, but when you're put on the spot, it's a bit different.
It's definitely worse, mate.
Dunfermline fan, Patrick?
Aye.
Happy with your new manager?
I'm so happy. I feel like he's, like, with Tidsa coming in, it feels like he's one of the players that will get on with the players that we've got. But obviously, I went to Partick Thistle, actually, and you were on something. I heard you in the stadium, though. I can't remember what you were on.
Ugh, listen, I'll do anything out of the house. It could be anything, quite frankly, just trying to stay out of the house. Patrick, how important was the cup win, though? Because it's one of those where you're playing low league opposition, you don't get much credit for winning, but if you're Michael Tidzer, you're the first game and you lose it and go out the cup, then it gets things off on a bad footing, doesn't it?
Yeah, like, I'm happy to have him. Like, I think he wasn't like everybody's first choice, including like, well, myself, but I was happy to have him. So, like, I don't know, I think he can do well. It's an exciting time for us as well, because obviously we've just got to take over the American guy, so hopefully it's like we can actually push on, because for too long people keep saying we're a Premier League club, but we've jumped from the Championship to League One for too long, and then we've still got a good support as well. I mean, us and Falkirk have got the two biggest supports in that league, and we always do a decent like, away following as well, so I hope we can start, you know, getting things together.
Good man. Let's see if you can get it together tonight. Heads, it's Marvin Bartley. Tails, it is Ross McCormack.
Sat in the wrong chair.
Look at him, he's buzzing. He's deleting Ross McCormack's
face. You get another win, Roscoe. You have two wins next week.
I'm still at the top then, yeah.
He's clinging on to that. Right, let's give Marvin some greatest hits radio to listen to. And Patrick, I know you've never played, but it is pretty simple. Just answer as many as you can in the 30 seconds. And if you want to pass and move on, that is absolutely fine, okay?
Perfect.
Right, 30 seconds going on the clock for Patrick, and your time starts now. Which two sides play in the All Premiership tie in the next round of the Scottish Cup?
Pass.
Motherwell have rejected a bid from which Serie A club for Lennon Miller?
Udinese.
Cedric Eaton joined Rangers from which club?
Oh, pass.
True or false, brothers were once on opposing sides for an Old Firm game?
True.
Who was the last Scotsman to play in a Champions League final?
Alex Ferguson.
Name any of the former Celtic managers who have a statue outside Celtic Park.
Pass. Terrible.
Okay, let's bring back Marvin Bartley. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Same set of questions. You ready?
Yeah.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Which two sides play in the All Premiership tie in the next round of the Scottish Cup?
St Mirren Hearts.
Motherwell have rejected a bid from which Serie A club for Lennon Miller this week?
Udinese.
Cedric Eaton joined Rangers from which club?
St Gallen.
True or false, brothers were once on opposing sides for an Old Firm game?
False.
Who was the last Scotsman to play in a Champions League final?
Andy Robertson.
Name any of the former Celtic managers who have a statue outside Celtic Park.
Tommy Burns.
Okay, okay, okay. Patrick, what's the verdict?
Oh, he just beat me easily. I was under pressure.
Nothing worse when they've written off their own chances.
When you look at it back, you realise, oh my God.
That happens to me a lot, mate, don't worry.
Right, okay, the first question. Which two sides play in the only all-premiership tie in the next round of the Cup? It is St Mirren Hearts, it's 1-0. You're just more interested in taking on Aberdeen, aren't you, Patrick?
Be a good day.
Just ignoring the other ones. Right, St Mirren Hearts 1-0. Marvin, you did know Udinese for Lennon Miller. What do you think of that bid? Take more than that?
Well, clearly. Yeah, it's a good opening bid though. Two and a half million, yeah. Young player. But yeah, get more than that, double.
What was the highest fee you went for again?
12.
I see pocket change compared to this guy. Unbelievable.
Wow.
We are in the presence of a serious...
He could buy Lennon Miller.
A serious mover. Yeah. 12 million quid. Unbelievable. What about you?
About 12 quid. 12 grand.
Right, anyway, 2-1 to Marvin Bartley. Cedric Eaton, I'm impressed with you. St Gallen, well done, or however the pronunciation is.
Yeah. Did you know Flo Canberry was... Yeah.
Okay. 3-1. True or false, brothers were once on opposing sides for an Old Firm game. The McAdam brothers were, so you got that wrong. And you got it right, Patrick. So you pull one back. I have to say, Patrick, I think this is just where the pressure got to you, and you just do a Gordon DL and just stop even listening. The last Scotsman to play in a Champions League final, he said Sir Alex Ferguson. Come on, Patrick.
I don't believe that, man.
Oh, dearie me. Andy Robertson it is. So Marvin is pulling away. And you sound like a young man, Patrick, are you?
Yeah.
But I mean, back in...
I should still know that. Tommy
you should.
Burns.
No, it's not Tommy Burns. Jock Steen started his managerial career at Dunfermline. You're a Dunfermline fan. Or Billy McNeil. Oh. So there you go. So you didn't get the last one right, Marvin, but you did get 5 on the board. And I think it was a 2 for Patrick. Hardlines, Patrick. It wasn't enough tonight.
Perfect. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Good.
Take care, mate.
There
See
we
you
go.
Later.
What can you do?
He didn't sound very enthusiastic at the start, so nah, I was happy to play that one.
He was nervous, I think.
Good guy though. Happy that he's confirmed and got Michael Tidzer as well. I'll be buzzing with that.
We're always just on the lookout for young managers, I think, aren't we? Getting a crack at it.
Good job for him.
Come from Kelty Hearts. Left Scott Allen behind, friend of the show,
not
as
surprised.
You would do. Anyway, 01419511025 is the number that you need. Give us a call. We're building up to the game at Celtic Park. We're looking ahead to tomorrow night as well. So whatever you fancy, to pick up that phone. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers. He does expect tough opposition from young boys despite their poor form in the competition.
You have to respect every team at this level. I know there'll be lots of noise around the record and where they're at, but they're a team that won the Swiss League last season by 12 points, and obviously it hasn't gone so well for them this season. You know, I think they've got the third manager now, but the games that we've watched, they are what you expect a team of this level to have: athletic ability and quality.
What do you think, Celtic fans? How are you feeling now, building up to kick off? There, we'll hear a bit more from the Celtic camp whilst we are at it. Here's what he says: he says it would mean a lot to end the 12-year wait to reach the knockouts.
It's something that I haven't done. I mentioned when I came back, we would like to make genuine progress at this level. I never promised anything. I just promised we would do our very best, but look to see if we could progress, because it's been such a long time. We want this place to be a difficult place to come to. It was for a number of years. It's been a challenging decade for for this club because of resources and everything else. But I think we're starting to see that we really can compete, and not just compete, but to a level of football that is synonymous with this club. And if we can continue to do that, that would of course make us really, really proud.
And another man who's seen it all in terms of trying to get there and not managing is the captain, Callum McGregor.
That's a brilliant incentive. I think the players know that. You know, they're happy to take that responsibility, and it's down to us to come and give a performance that merits that and gets the crowd involved in the game and makes it a really difficult night. We've tried and failed pretty much most of the time, so it's a big step for the club. Everybody wants to be a part of it, and we've done ever so well so far, but we don't want to be the nearly team. We feel like we've got a team here, profile a player and squad that should be getting success, so it's now down to the players to prove that, and hopefully we can do that tomorrow night. And I think if you offered anyone a shootout in the last game at home, you know, if you win, you're through the sort of knockout phase, then you would have taken it, absolutely.
Give us your thoughts then, Celtic fans. How are you feeling? What do you make of the team that has been announced by Celtic, picked by Brendan Rodgers this evening? Do let us know all your thoughts going into that one. And that will be it, you know, for players like Callum McGregor. He's seen Brendan Rodgers' first spell, which wasn't good in the Champions League, but I sometimes think it maybe gets overlooked, the level that they got drawn against. Remember, it was Man City and Barca the first time, and then Bayern and PSG the second time. I'm not saying they couldn't have done better, but it was a pretty tough school. Ange Postecoglou come on and there were some good performances, but they couldn't get that tangible success. Mm-hmm. So now a chance to do that.
Yeah, massive chance. Like you said, I think the format's definitely helped with that. Yeah. But also, so is their performances, because you still have to go and win the games regardless. So yeah, listen, for him being a captain of Celtic Football Club, this is probably the next step for him, you know, to qualify for the next stage of the Champions League, which should be absolutely massive. And like Brendan said, he's not done it before. He spoke about doing it when he came back to the football club. And the fans should be so, so excited going into today's game. But one thing I think, you know, Brendan would have reminded them, listen, if we don't go out and do things the way we need to do them, remember what happened against Dortmund. And I think, you know, as crazy as it sounds, you know, at the time, I think it was a really, really good lesson for them. I really, really do. And I think he would have used that as fuel to the fire going forward. And they got them to this position now, but there's one more step to take.
James is in the East End. If he opens his windows, he'll probably hear it tonight. James, can Celtic do it? Will they do it?
Yeah, I hope so. Hi, Gordon. Hi, Marvin. Hi, Ross.
Hi, mate.
You all right? So you're confident then, James?
Happy New Year, guys.
Oh, it's the latest Happy New Year we've had. You think that are we still in that territory, James? 22nd of January?
Well, I only speak to people I've not spoken to.
We bump into James in August and he's still throwing it out there. I don't mind it, James. I don't mind it too much. What are you thinking tonight then?
Your Easter eggs come soon, mate.
He's had enough.
By the way, you're right.
Yeah, Marvin, calm it. No, guys, I was just talking about the team tonight and what I've seen and that. But I know everybody's saying about Thrusty and think I love the guy and I think he's fantastic. But after like I've seen skills in the night, I thought, no, like, I thought he'd been more solid than anything else. And when the boy comes in, man, he does. I'm not in a way for Thrusty. I just think he's got a cracking combination with Captain.
Yeah, what do you make of that area? Because obviously there was the whole Brendan Rodgers saying Austin Trusty is weak as you know what on the telly, sort of said it publicly in his press conference, but stuck with him, played him at the weekend. I think he was always likely to play tonight. Based on that, who is the better of the two for you?
I don't think there's much in it, to be honest. I think it's horses for courses. As I said, I don't think there's much in it at all. But I think the telling thing is probably how Brendan sees it. I think every game where Scales has been offish, shall we say, he's been dragged, whereas Trusty's been given more of a
leeway.
Yeah, I think so. Yes, and what I think comes into that also is probably the transfer fee. It's a lot of money for a Scottish club to pay for a centre half. Make no mistake about that. So I think that probably comes a little bit into the thinking. As I said, I don't think there's much in them. Me personally, I've got to agree. I probably prefer Scales. If I want someone in the box to go and head it clear, get hurt in the process if you have to, I think Scales is the man.
You mentioned Dortmund, which is an interesting kind of starting point, I think, Marvin, because, by the way, that was Scales and Trusty that night, if you remember. Carter Vickers was missing. Conceded 7. It brought up all the old arguments about Celtic being too open, unable to defend in Europe. Now, since then, if you're being critical of the Champions League, could they have been more attacking against Zagreb? Yes. Mm-hmm. Could they have done more against Bruges at home? Yes. But one thing they have been since Dortmund is sound defensively.
Yeah.
Clean sheet against Atalanta. Yeah, conceded one against RB Leipzig. Clean sheet away to Dinamo Zagreb. And every one of those since has been trusty in Carter Vickers.
Yeah, and that's why I believe he starts. You know, we spoke about, you know, players having credit in the bank. You know, you make a fantastic point there that defensively they've been a lot stronger, and it's been trusty and Carter Vickers playing there.
I know that Carter Vickers wasn't particularly sound against Club Bruges.
Yeah, but he's got all the credit in the bank, so he's playing no matter what.
Over the piece.
And I do think, you know, listen, Scales was hard done by when he first came out of the team. At the end of the day, he played against Rangers in 90 minutes and they lost 3-0, and he's not really, he hasn't started a game since then. I think he's only played a couple of minutes since then. So, yeah, no surprise at all that Trusty plays for me. You know, like Roscoe's saying there, you paid a big transfer fee for him. He's done really, really well in the Champions League games. And that's a solid partnership. That's his first choice partnership, you know, and Scales has to buy his time, kind of like Luke McGowan now. Mm. McGowan.
Yeah, thank you to James. Happy New Year to you, James. Enjoy the game tonight. Let's go to his namesake, who's not too far away either. He's in Bayliston, but a Rangers fan this time, James. How are you feeling about tomorrow?
Evening, Gordon, Ross and Marvin.
Hi, mate.
Excited. I think we've got a free hit tomorrow night. We've performed well away from home in Europe. You look at, you know, Malmo, Nice. My son and I were over in Nice. And also the point in, against Olympiacos. So we've got good form away from home, although I think we would all agree that Manchester United, even allowing for the relatively poor form recently, are still going to be a formidable challenge. You look at the budgets between the two clubs, you know, Harry Maguire, 80 million, Matthias De Ligt, 60 million, Bruno Fernandes, Rasmus Højlund, you could round them off, you know, so we are up against it in that sense. However, perhaps the pressure being slightly off to a degree, we should try and play with a bit of freedom and have a go at them. Because I think we've seen over the last few weeks, even at a premiership level down south, they're vulnerable. And I know people will say the same about Rangers, but Man United are vulnerable, and we should at least try and have a go. I think they're going to have a lot of the ball, so they're going to have to do a lot of hard work off the ball. But
it's a great point that James makes right about the style, because what's going to give here? Everybody's spoken about Rangers and the joy against Celtic, joy against Spurs. Rangers are better with less of the ball. Mm-hmm. So are Man United. Do you know what I mean? Because that's why they're better away from home. But they're just going to keep kicking it back to each other. Or
I think that the Man United
stylistically, how does it work?
I think they'll think that they can come and dominate this game. I really, really do.
But that is when they're at their worst,
yeah,
though.
Well, definitely. But I just think, you know, the way that kind of, you know, a lot of English people look at the Scottish game, they'll truly believe that they'll just come and dominate the game, and, you know, they won't expect Rangers to have a lot of the ball. And I think it will play into Rangers' hands, like you're saying, because they are better at the ball, they are better on the counter-attack. And Man United, for me, are weaker when they have time to build up through the third. So, yeah, I expect them to come out and try and move the ball about and maybe make a tactical tweak in terms of, like, we are going to dominate, we're going to impose ourselves on Rangers. Mm. One point I do disagree with James on, though, in terms of saying it's a free hit. I don't believe when any English team or Scottish team's playing an English team, there is a free hit. I just don't think that that's just not accepted.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but also know what James means, that this is a big game for those reasons Marvin says, Ross. If Rangers lose, they're not out of Europe, you know that. Mm-hmm. So there's not that bit riding on it.
But it's still not a free hit, because if you go the other way and Rangers take a bad beating, sure, then all of a sudden the pressure's right back on the manager. But as the manager said in his interviews, he's not one that goes and parks the bus. You have to be very careful, because Man United will be wounded for sure after what the manager said to them players. They'll be wounded. Mm-hmm. If Rangers come out and open up too early, too soon, and they concede early, could be a long night. But I'm very much, I'm pretty confident. I think Rangers can go down there and get a draw if they do things right at the right times and don't go chasing it. You can't go chasing it. You've got to remember it's Manchester United.
It's a good point James makes, though, about, I think we've been bogged down recently because we're talking about the domestic stuff, and Rangers away form is dreadful. How could you describe it as anything other than that? But not in Europe. They're 7 unbeaten away from home in Europe against Nice, Olympiakos, Malmo, Dinamo Kiev, Benfica, Betis and Sparta Prague. That's a, yeah, that's quite a list, isn't it, away from home?
No, it's definitely a great list. And like you say, it's a great stat for them, knowing that they can go away from home in Europe and pick up points. But even with those teams you mentioned there, and Man United in the form they are now, I would say Man United would be the top two, if not the best team out of that whole list there. So it's going to be, again, for me, a step up in level, the same way that, you know, Rangers are talking about playing against an English team. May not be exactly the same playing against a Scottish team. I think they'll have a reaction, as Roscoe's saying there, and the strong players will definitely react, but the weak ones, they might just go undone. It'll be about Rangers going there. Can you turn the home crowd against Man United? If they get a goal early on, you know, the manager's already said it there, the players could go under.
James, who would you start in goal?
I think it has to be Butland, Gordon. Liam Kelly's done very well. You know, the majority of the time, I think you could argue perhaps the goal at Easter Road, the equaliser that Rocky Bashiri scored, perhaps didn't cover his hell in glory, coming out for that corner and kind of missing it. But that said, he's done very well, so I can't be critical of him. But I think if Jack Butland is fit to play, I think he simply has to play, in my opinion. As much as Kelly's done well, absolutely, it would be Jack Butland for me.
Good man, James and Bailison, thank you very much. When we return, of course, we'll continue the build-up to the big games, but great responsibility for Marvin and Ross. Don't make me have the deciding vote. We are going to pick, they've left it up to us, I don't know why either, but we are going to pick the goal of the round from the Scottish Cup fourth round, and we can do it next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What a night we've got in store. It's a huge night of Champions League action in the East End of Glasgow, and then in Manchester it's all about Man United Rangers tomorrow. So we're building up to both. We'll go back to Celtic Park before kick-off, and getting all your thoughts on any of those topics or anything else that's floating your boat. Let me give you your teaser for tonight. This is such a busy show, I don't even want any answers just now. Just I'll leave it with you, because we're about to pick the goal of the round from the Scottish Cup as well. So thanks to Cameron McQueen, who sent it in. Cameron doesn't realise this is probably too hard for you, but anyway. Who are the last six different Celtic players to score against Swiss opposition? Pretty tough, because by the way, we're going right back for some of these.
How far?
Pretty far, just for some of them. Any as I said, I'll leave it with you. But that's Cameron's question. Full time at Clyde1.com. Right, I always think that the pundits have got unbelievable football knowledge. They're clearly like titans of the game. And obviously the people at the Scottish Gas Men's Scottish Cup and the powers that be at the Scottish FA agree, because they have asked us to pick the goal of the round for the fourth round. There were no shocks as such, but plenty of good goals. So let's take a look, and then you two are going to decide which was the goal of the round. These are your choices. Let's take them away. First one, and I don't know if we're going in chronological order, because it was the first one that kicked it all off, wasn't it? Scott Bright for Brechin City, an absolute screamer against Hearts. Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
Ross, even you would have been proud of that, wouldn't you?
As the winner?
Just generally as a strike.
Or unbelievable. Half volley as well.
I'm going to say,
you got that in your locker, mate.
It's going to be tough to top that, actually, as we go along. But Blair Lyons of Montrose against Queen's Park, cutting in from the left, putting it beyond the goalie Callum Ferry, put a couple of defenders on his backside. Not bad from Blair Lyons of Montrose. Same game, actually. Zach Rudden, a nice 1-2, cheeky wee back heel, right footed strike, the laces. Do you like that?
Yeah, good finish, that.
Zach Rudden, right. George Oakley, I got a feel for Broxburn here. 8 goals they conceded. Do you like that one, Ross? That low, arrowed finish,
yeah,
into the corner.
He's hit it early as well. Keeper's not got a chance to move, has he?
Okay, same game then. Jake Hasty. That was later on in the game. Kind of cross in, it just floated to the back post. I mean, cushioned, nice,
yeah,
accurate, but
I've worried of the goalkeeper when I train with them next.
Same game as well.
Could have done better.
Dylan Watra of Ayr United. I think this is more long distance again. That's a good finish outside the box. The Ackies, Stephen Hendry. By the way, there's a lot of similar goals with that kind of arrowed,
angled. I'm liking the technique on these though, Gordon. Finish. Really good strikes. Oh, right. Not sure about that pitch.
Right, Lewis McGrattan, Dumbarton against Airdrie. I think it's all about this
nice
flick.
Oh, and
the
little
up,
cushion
it?
Header. Yeah, I like that.
I think it's Chris Mockery, a wee flick round the corner. That probably what makes it. Lots of you will have seen this one. Callum McGregor, yet another goal from outside the box, a left-footed strike from 25 yards. 7 from outside the box this season. He's flying, isn't he?
Some record. Some record.
And I don't think there are points for it being your first ever goal, but if there were, Clinton Nsiala, a layoff from Barami, smashes it left-footed past Joe Barber. And they go, maybe a slight deflection though. Does that take the sheen off a goal for you?
Yeah, definitely.
Right, those are your choices then. What are you going for?
I'm going for this first one.
I'm not even telling you what. Scott Bright of Beacon City.
Yeah.
Ross, any arguments?
No arguments, no. But I would also give a good shout out to the other goal in that game, the right foot, where he's cut across it into the far corner.
Okay, I sort of thought when I saw this on Friday night, it's the first goal of the fourth round. Can we top that? And the answer is
no,
we can't. There we are. Congratulations, Scott Bright of Brechin City, who is the winner of the goal of the round, the Scottish Gas Men's Scottish Cup, fourth round. You are the top man. We'll maybe even send former Brechin manager Mark Wilson up to present the awards. What do you think?
I think we should.
How good would that be?
There
he's
he is
actually
there.
On TV is now as well right now. God, he's everywhere, that guy, Mark Wilson.
He looks kind of shocked that he's been put in front of a camera.
Yeah, he tends to do these big Champions League nights on Sky Sports News for Celtic.
Big names.
Get the big names in. It's funny that, because he always tells us he's not available on any other night apart from a Thursday. But I guess if the fee's right, fee's right, and he'll be there. Partick Thistle under 18s have been pied off, training cancelled.
Brian Graham's taking
it. And he's in there tonight. Anyway, well done again to Scott Bright.
Well done, buddy.
Breaking City. Great strike, honestly.
It was.
He came on as a sub, didn't he, as well?
Did he?
Adds to it.
Yeah, that's what you do, to try to manage what you got.
So you mean to tell me you overlooked the great coincidence from the weekend? So what's his surname?
Bright.
Who did they replace? Not watch the game, though. No. Thought you were a student.
Something right.
No. Spark.
Oh, I like what you did there.
Well, he did.
Spark's first name.
It wasn't me that did it. You and Spark went off, and Scott Bright came on. Bright replaced Spark.
I like that.
And scored the goal. That's
a great goal at that. Goal of the round. He'd be buzzing. He'd be listening to the show as well. He'd be delighted.
Oh, I'm sure he will be. And against Craig Gordon. It's not like some...
Exactly. Scotland's number one.
Absolutely. There we go. That brings to an end that. What have we got on your teaser? I gave you a couple of extra minutes to think about it. Can you name the last 6 different players for Celtic to score against Swiss opposition? Any that jump out? I mean, I think that's really tough to just recall.
Yeah, it really is. Like Edouard?
Nope.
Perfect start.
I think, right, I'm going to give you some advice.
Okay.
If you can't remember individual games, and I'm looking at the list here, I don't suppose you... Will, who'd be like your go-to guys for scoring Celtic goals?
Kyogo.
No.
Gary Hooper.
No. I mean, even more obvious than those guys.
Henrik Larsson.
Yes, Henrik Larsson. If there's ever a question about Celtic goal scorers, just say Henrik Larsson. Of a similar, so probably your, when was your kind of breakthrough? When were you coming through at Rangers? Was that
2006
yeah,
or
so a couple of years before that. So Larsson scored against Basel or Ball or however you pronounce it in 2003. I think same tie. If it's not Larsson, it's
Sutton.
Chris Sutton. There we go.
Wow, okay. We're going back that far.
So is that the most recent goal scorers?
No, there is only. I know you're in baller.
Yeah, wow.
Because you think Scottish football started in 2015?
It definitely did.
When you came up here. There's only one more recently than that.
Oh wow, Ross, I'm leaning on you heavily here, mate.
Is he Australian?
No, he's not. So Henrik Larsson actually did it a couple of times, because he did it against Zurich back in 98. But it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's 6, you know, separate goal scorers. So I actually don't even know how to steer you in the right direction. The only thing I'll tell you was the one's in 2012, and it is a Scotsman. He's not a striker. He may have just got himself a new job.
Charlie Mulgrew.
Nice. Right, we'll leave that there. Thank you to Cameron McQueen for sending it in, and the email address you need if you want to come up with a question, test out the pundits, hear your question used on the show, just like Cameron tonight. The address is fulltime@clyde1.com. That's fulltime@clyde1.com. You can tweet us your thoughts, you can give us a call, whether you're building up to tonight's game or tomorrow's game. We're here for it, because they're both absolutely massive. In their own way, in different ways, and especially tonight with sort of progression hinging on it. There is still a kind of mad series of results that maybe Celtic are looking out for, but a win does it, Marvin. I think we need to simplify it. The only thing is, there is still another match day. That's the bit that you maybe have to kind of wait for confirmation and so on. Is that because Aston Villa's perceived as being so difficult that everybody's putting this down to tonight? Because, you know, people are talking about this like it's last chance saloon for Celtic when it actually isn't.
Yeah.
Is that just a nod to how tough the fixture is?
Yeah, exactly that. You know, Celtic wouldn't want to go into that Villa game needing anything from it. I think that's going to be a real, real tough one. Especially with Villa, I think they'll need the win themselves after losing last night 1-0 to Monaco to finish within the top eight. So, yeah, I think today's absolutely key. You know, if you're giving it percentages, 99% on today's game and 1% on the Aston Villa one, just because you have to go and play it. But yeah, I think they have to take care of business tonight. I firmly believe they will do so. I don't think it would be a walk in the park. I don't think it would be easy, but I think Celtic will have more than enough to do so. Yeah, and listen, and that's them in the playoff. Absolutely happy days. Everyone goes home happy. And then you go into the Villa game and see what you can get out of it. But you do not want to be going into that game needing a point, because I think that's going to be a real tricky, tricky tie.
Surely, if they're looking for someone to do the halftime draw at Villa Park, I know a Glaswegian who used to play for Aston Villa. You could be the man. What sort of reception would you get?
Reception? There's not enough stewards there to help me.
I'll come down with you, mate.
Imagine that. Walking out to the centre circle.
Oh, he wouldn't
that
get
would
very
be
far.
An absolute disaster, to be honest. I tell you what, it's not easy to play at that stadium, you know, pressure.
Yeah, exactly.
So I understand why Celtic want it done tonight.
Listen, we've given him enough praise for all the good things he's done, so we thought we'd just imagine the image of Ross McCormack doing the halftime draw at Villa Park. I have to say, see, when we were looking at the... I'm now going to praise him again. We're talking about the goal of the round. I said to him before, that's Callum McGregor's seventh from outside the box this season, and I said this at the weekend, I wonder what's like the most that anyone's done in a season from purely, you know, from outside the box. And he said he scored 3 in one game from outside the box.
By the way, I didn't just bring it up, he asked.
That's some going, by the way.
Who was that for again?
Fulham against Forest.
Must have been a free kick in there, knowing you.
It wasn't actually, no free kick.
3 from outside the box in one game.
One was deflected a bit like Enciala's, so.
Yeah, he'd take it though, it was on target.
100%, yes.
Hat trick of goals outside the box, that's unheard of. I don't think I hit 3 shots in my whole career, genuinely, from outside the box. That's brilliant.
What a standard this guy played to. Sean is a Rangers fan. Can you do it tomorrow, Sean?
I believe Rangers will win 2-1 tomorrow. I think tomorrow's the day. Rangers go down to Old Trafford, they win 2-1. And the Man United manager will be out of a job on Friday morning.
No, I know they're in a bad place.
Yes, they will.
They can't sack him already.
Yeah, right.
The poor guy's nearly in tears in his press conferences.
Worst team in Manchester. Yes, he'll be out of a job on Friday. He'll be P45 and he'll be looking for a job. He'll be looking for some job after Friday. Yes, he will.
Oh, come on. I know it's a cutthroat business, but even by modern standards,
I can get with one of the statements for sure. Rangers can go down there and win, but he will not lose his job. Not a chance.
His ink's not even dry in his contract yet. He's not even picked his wallpaper for his new apartment. He's probably still in the hotel. Inside.
Probably not an apartment either, is it?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think he'll have a suite in a hotel that he just stays in for?
Yeah, the Lowry.
They always do that, don't they?
Yeah.
The Pep do that or something for ages.
Yeah.
Mourinho.
Just stay on the top one of the top two floors.
Anyway, Sean, who plays in goals?
It'll certainly not be that young boy anymore. I've heard rumours that Jack Butland's training again. If Jack Butland's fit, he plays in goals over Ian Kelly. But that young boy, he'll never play for Rangers again. That boy was, no offence to him, but he was a liability. That boy was actually terrible. The worst Rangers goalkeeper ever.
Sean likes extremes, doesn't he? Maybe he'll get the Man United manager's job when Amorim gets sacked. Listen, he's a teenager. It was his first game.
He
gave the ball away once. I wasn't asking if we thought he would play, because I don't think he will. And it's more than a rumour. I saw Jack Butland with my own eyes up at the Rangers training centre today. No, it's not. He's saying it's a rumour that
you started it. Yeah, that's why he's heard it.
Because we were sort of really simplifying the debate there of, you know, just who plays. Does it come into your thinking, because you were Team Butland, does it come into your thinking at all that, you know, he's just back training?
If it was an outfield player, I think so. I think with goalkeepers, you always have like a firm number one, and obviously Liam knew that going in there. That it was Jack. And like everyone's saying, Liam's done extremely well. And does he deserve to be dropped? No. But I just believe when a number one goalkeeper comes back, such a massive game as well, I think Jack will want to play.
So you don't think it matters that he's just back, though, is what I'm trying to...
I really don't think so. I think once the goalkeeper's back in training and they declare themselves fit and they feel like they've got their eye back in, you know, you have to go with that. And I just think, you know, it probably caused Clement more problems than it's worth if Jack Butland doesn't play. I think it'd be extremely disappointing if he declares himself fit. And then all of a sudden you start to doubt yourself, am I still the number one? What's the script here? So I expect him to go back in. I really, really do. And as I said, that's no slight on Liam Kelly because he's done extremely well.
Jack Butland was at Manchester United, of course, wasn't he? A loan spell from Palace, was it? Or something
Palace,
before,
yeah.
before he came up here. You played with him, Ross, did you not?
Yeah, played with him at Leeds. Great goalkeeper, to be fair. Very, very good. But I think after that, he's probably went through a few years where he didn't get as many appearances as he probably thought he deserved. I'm sure he was in... Might have been in England squad at one point, I'm sure. But it's hard to argue with that one. We were speaking earlier about the Celtic midfield. You know, managers have got their go-to players. I think Butland's one of them. But for me, I just like to see players rewarded. That's what I was talking about. Let McCown play. Same as Liam Kelly. I think they've done ever so well when they've come into the team, so they deserve to keep the shirt. But I can't see it either.
Okay, thank you to Sean, who's got lots of opinions on tomorrow's game. We'll see how they pan out. 01419511025, and we'll go back to Celtic Park next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Building up to kick off at Celtic Park, it is getting close. These special Champions League nights, can the atmosphere translate into a winning performance and a performance and result that sees Celtic go through? We're very close to finding out. Mr. Leeds is happy. Do you see that? We've never won. Our pundits don't tend to care if Leeds score against Norwich, but Mr. Leeds, Ross McCormick, is happy over there in the corner. Marvin Bartley here as well. You could still squeeze some thoughts in ahead of the game tonight. We are running out of time, but we can do that. Did you get any more in this teaser? It is brutal. The last six different Celtic players to score against Swiss opposition: Charlie Mulgrew against Sion, Henrik Larsson and Chris Sutton against Basel, Henrik Larsson against Zurich. What year were you born, Ross McCormick?
Remind 1986
me. Right, so you're probably kind of peak teenage, or just before teenage years. In a couple of these that are Celtic played Zurich in 98, Henrik Larsson scored. Who else would be round about that team?
Bratback.
Yes.
Oh, Roscoe.
Done. Oh, Bratback. Which means two to get. One of them is horrendous. One of them, they just forget it. Honestly, just forget it. But if you can keep thinking of that team,
I've got nothing. That's why you need Hugh.
You've only got... Oh, I'm not sure he'd remember these either, to be honest. I'm not sure he would remember them. But anyway, let's go back to Celtic Park and speak to Gabriel.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European Group Stages. With UK Debt Expert, the top team helping you tackle your debt. Verify at ukdebtexpert.co.uk. May not be suitable for all. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.
So Gabriel, we're getting close. It will be building up. Does it feel like one of those nights with big expectation in the air?
Yeah, it certainly does, Gordon. They've got the song with the guitar being played out now at Celtic Park. Everyone here with their phones recording it. The light show has been on. That is what the light show is for. Nights like these, the pitch back, the freezing cold, and the Champions League. Their 12-year wait to reach the knockout stage could end this evening, Gordon. Brendan Rodgers said it had been a tough decade for the club, but they could put all that in the past. Rodgers said it would be huge for everyone at the club, showing they've matured and earned respect at this level. And you can feel it, as you said, in the air here. This is the date that have been circled in supporters' diaries for months. Progress in the Champions League is what the fans have been after for so, so long, and tonight is their chance to witness it.
Tell you what, Hugh Keevan's doing a terrific job on the guitar there, isn't he, as well? Didn't we had that in his locker. What a chanter he is. Reminders of the team then, Gabriel, that Brendan Rodgers has chosen.
Yeah, Brendan Rodgers keeping the exact 11 that beat Kilmarnock 2-1 at the weekend. And given the gravity of the game, you have to say it's the strongest 11. Kasper Schmeichel in goal. Alistair Johnston, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Austin Trusty, Greg Taylor make up the back four. Callum McGregor, Arne Engels and Reo Hatate are in midfield. Nicholas Kuhn, Kyogo and Jason Maida up top. The substitutes, Sinisalo, Bain,
Scales, Palmer, Ida, Baye, Yang, McCowan, Navrotsky, Bernardo, Murray and Ralston. For the Swiss champions, Gordon might not have many household names in their 11. They're bottom of the 36 teams, lost every single game in this competition. They've got the worst goal difference. They've never won an away game in the Champions League, and they're really struggling domestically. But I tell you this, the few thousand Swiss fans in the corner here have been making some amount of noise for the past hour. They're right up for this. The team will be as well. And don't forget, every Champions League night is an opportunity for magic memories for every club. A Club Bruges came here and impressed Gordon, deservedly picked up a point back in December. Celtic will want to avoid that and focus more on the Bratislava and the Leipzig performances. That's the level Celtic need to reach again. They know it's in their locker. Atmosphere reaching fever pitch, Gordon, and kickoff less than 10 minutes away.
You were at Brendan Rodgers' press conference yesterday. Gabriel, Callum McGregor spoke as well, and they both said, you know, almost word for words when they were asked about the atmosphere, that they had to give the fans something to stay with the team, because we know that the Champions League anthem, well, the noise will be through the roof, and as the teams in Celtic get into their huddle, the noise will be through the roof. Celtic clearly want to start quick and keep that noise there, don't they? Because both of them said it in the same way.
Yeah, that's exactly key, Gordon. When you look back at those games, I was just talking about Bratislava and Leipzig, they started right from the off, playing forward, playing with pace and aggressiveness, scoring the first goal, and this place just erupts and it almost carries them from there. That's going to be so important. First 15 minutes, can Celtic get on top? Can they put themselves in front? And the crowd, they'll hope, will do the rest.
90 up to 100 minutes these days, Celtic do not have to score early to win a game of football, but you just feel like on nights like this, when the expectation is there and you're against an opponent that might, you know, not be in a good place, it just does become so important, doesn't it, to just change the dynamic as early as you can. I'll go back to every Saturday when we're in here and it's like, you know, the Premiership ties, you just get the sense that if Celtic score early, everything will be fine for them, and if they don't, that's when difficulties can strike, albeit I think the Dundee game contradicted that.
Yeah, and they'll know that young boys are fragile as well in terms of, you know, their record, and they've not won any games, so it's almost like they've got used to losing in the Champions League. But one thing that will happen, the longer the game goes on, the more confidence that they will get. You know, they'll be startled when they see the atmosphere, or feel the atmosphere rather, when they come out of Celtic Park, because all players that have not played there before, they've never experienced anything like it. So if Celtic can then use that, as Gabriel's saying there, and start the game quickly and get an early goal or early shot at goal, then the fans will stay on side. But if they get that early goal, I just think, yeah, young boys could crumble. And that's what Celtic will want. That's what Brendan will be saying to them. Nice, fast start. You know, let's get that early goal. It won't put the tide to bed, but it'll make it a lot more difficult to young boys. And they won't fancy it. They'll just be waiting for the 90th minute whistle to go and just get off that pitch again.
Gabriel, do they bring any significant support? I mean, are they scunnered with the Champions League? I don't know how it would affect their desire to travel.
No, Gordon, as I was saying, yeah, there's a couple of thousand Swiss supporters just in the corner there, draped in yellow and black. They've been making plenty of noise, but they're all silent now, in awe of You'll Never Walk Alone. A green and white scarf being held above everyone's head, the lights flashing around the stadium. This is what the Champions League nights are all about, Gordon. Goosebumps amongst all the fans here. They want to reach the knockout stage, and they know they can do it this evening.
Sounds pretty lively. Sounds like one of those nights, Marvin.
That's the thing, like you said, their fans will be sitting there, and imagine what the players will be thinking when they come out to this, or if they're out on the pitch already. As I said, they'll never experience anything like that. You know, I've played in games, and Moscow's been the same down in England, but the atmosphere that you get, you know, at Celtic Park, I've been to watch games in Europe, same as Ibrox, there's nothing like it. It's magical. And yeah, listen, it's start of a good night, I believe, for Celtic, and I'll go through tonight.
Right, round off the teaser quickly. The last six Celtic players to score against Swiss opposition: Larsen, Sutton, Brattback, Mulgrew.
So you said same team as Brattback, Larsen?
1998.
Maravchuk?
No. Former teammate of yours at Motherwell.
Phil O'Donnell?
Phil O'Donnell.
Okay. Yeah.
And the last one, won't even waste your time: Mohamed Silla. Mo Silla, remember that?
Oh, actually, I remember it, but never ever guess in that.
Right, listen to that noise at Celtic Park. Listen to that quickly. A score prediction from you, Ross McCormack.
4-0.
Wow. Martin Bartley.
3-1.
There we go. So Celtic will be through, according to these two. Whatever happens tonight, we look back on it tomorrow. And of course, Rangers at Old Trafford as well. You won't want to miss it. Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale will be here from 6. Enjoy the rest of your night.